Today's scripture reading is from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all gathered in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound, like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues, as of fire, appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages, as the Spirit gave them the ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit among all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they will prophesy. I shall show portents in heaven and above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." This has been the word of God for the people of God.
Do you know how long our brother in Christ had to go over that this morning? 5 minutes. I mean, fantastic job. Doesn't he do a great job? Thank you, my friend. Thank you. Praise God. I give God the glory. Would you join with me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we've heard of your Holy Spirit. And we felt it. Help us to humble ourselves before you, to acknowledge your working in our lives and the power that you fill us with. It's in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, that we pray. Amen. Now, for a little kid, it was an exciting thing. And I didn't realize that there was actually danger involved as well. And if I was growing up, back on my street, I saw something. There was a little hill going down Carson Street. Just a little kind of grade that goes down Carson Street. And at the bottom of Carson Street was a slag dump. Yeah, not anything that people would come as a tourist and look at or anything like that. But it was kind of dusty also, and all of a sudden, at the bottom of the street, I saw something moving, and I saw something twisting. It was a little twister. that started at the bottom of our street and started moving its way up. And it was probably about from here to here, if you get my... Now, I'm not saying that anybody in the choir is like a twister coming at you or anything like that, but I'm saying, you know, it was about that wide. It was coming up the street. And my first response as a little kid who really didn't know any better was, ooh, cool, yeah. And then all of a sudden, my mom screams, get out of the street, Neil Allen. And whenever it's both names, you know, you better move. Got up on the porch, and we kind of huddled around each other, and that twister just kind of moved on up and you know, threw around some lawn furniture and stuff like that, and nobody was hurt, but it just kind of moved on by. And I was thinking about that because the power of wind in that setting had never really been experienced by me before. And to be able to see something up close and personal actually moving right by you was something that I obviously remember to this very day. Regretfully, there are many stories of twisters that are very dangerous, that are lethal, in fact. Later on in ministry, I can remember being involved in a trailer park ministry. And you know where this is heading. A Sunday school to kids and to families who couldn't get to church for one reason or another or weren't particularly interested, we took church to them. And there was a twister that hit that trailer park, and people died. The power of nature, the power of wind, is something that many of us are very familiar with. Some of us have maybe been touched with personally. And when we think about that, it's not much of a stretch to start thinking about the power of the Holy Wind. The power of the Holy Spirit working, churning in us, changing us. The question that we should have concerning the power of the Holy Spirit, and whenever it comes upon us, is this. Are we excited about it? That yes, it's going to be at work in us? That there are going to be changes, no question about that. When God works in your life, there are changes, amen? And when God continues to work in your life, He is going to stretch you, amen? Yeah. But He's never, ever going to leave you alone. He's never going to leave you abandoned. And He's going to equip you then to be able to meet the challenges and to be able to be stretched and to grow in that stretching, amen? What an awesome God we have. Do we wait with excitement as that Holy Spirit comes towards us, or do we run and hide as well? That's the question. Speaking of the Holy Spirit is difficult. It's a challenge. One brother in Christ, in times that I've served in churches as a pastor, as an appointed minister, came up to me and simply said, tell me all about the Holy Spirit. That's some question. It's something that is personal. It's something that we can talk about concerning Pentecost and give some specifics. Certainly, we can say, this is Pentecost Sunday, 50 days after Easter, Penta, Greek 50. This is also known as Whit Sunday in some congregations because of the robes that new confirmands weared whenever they joined the church. This was originally a Jewish festival, Shavuot, and it was a time of offering, and it's a time of celebration. And that leads us to the scripture passage today. There was a festival that was taking place, and people were coming in from all over the known world. We can just say all over the world, okay? Let's say that, because that's what they knew as the world at the time. And the names that my brother in Christ handled quite well, thank you. The other liturgists were saying, man, I'm really glad I didn't have that one today, are moving from the east to the west in the known world. So all those cities, all those places, those locations, kind of a call just going right across the world, the known world at the time, saying they're coming in from all of these locations. And what happened here was something that had never really been happened in such great power before. And in fact, they probably didn't even know the disciples who were gathered there to get out of the way. They didn't know what was going to hit them. You ever have that experience in life? I didn't know what was going to hit me. I really didn't know what was coming. I didn't know that I was going to have to deal with fill in the blank, whatever it may be. And the disciples were there also. And while they may have not been there necessarily for the festival days, we understand that the festival or this gathering was open to everyone. Okay, that is from Deuteronomy. That is from the Jewish history, from the specific guidelines for this particular festival, Harvest Festival. And isn't it amazing how God works? That whenever He is about ready to wash over people with His Holy Spirit, when God is ready to work in a way of magnificence and power that we can't even imagine, He prepares the way. He does it in a time that He has ordered. This festival was a time when everybody was welcome. That reminds us that God's grace and love is offered to everyone. And God's Holy Spirit is pouring out over everyone. Whether or not everyone recognizes it or not, whether or not we recognize it or not all the time, that's on us. God works, though, in this kind of way, gathering people, people coming from all over, and then there is this loud noise. Praise God! God works, gets their attention. And the Spirit starts filling them. And what happens to those believers, this is 50 days later, after Easter, okay? A lot of things can happen in 50 days, can't they? Some real doubts could creep up, wondering, is there going to be anything? Is God going to continue to sustain us? Certainly, that was a phenomenal thing that you've done, God, but what have you done for me lately? And this amazing outpouring of God's grace takes place. But not only does it fill them, it enables the believers to start speaking in the tongues of those who had gathered from all over the world. And while they may have been inside of somebody's home, and that's probably, well, in fact, it's definitely how worship took. They didn't have churches. Oftentimes, they weren't even wanting people to know that they were meeting because they weren't accepted. And so they were in their home, and they were gathered together, and they were filled. And then they started speaking the language of the other people from around the world that had gathered in the city. You understand that now. They started speaking this language. It's like all of a sudden, if I started speaking Norwegian, okay, to someone, and telling it to someone that can only speak Norwegian, and telling them the good news in that language. That's what happened. They didn't stay in that house dumbfounded, but the Holy Spirit filled them, gave them the tools to be able to share the good news with all these other individuals, and then took them out of the house to be missionaries, to be disciples in the name of Christ, to share the good news in a language that other people could hear and understand. Other people saw that, as is going to be the case when we're following God at times. Other people saw that and said, they're drunk. They're crazy. They're making a spectacle of themselves. What's this good news that they're talking about? And they're talking and they're speaking in the languages of these other people? What's going on here? And then at that point, Peter denied Jesus three times, was redeemed three times. That means you don't have to be perfect to be a Christian, just forgiven, is the one who offers the first Christian sermon recorded in the Bible. And it's in the scripture passage today. And he starts going through, as Peter often did, and starts talking about where he came from and witnessing in speech and witnessing in word and witnessing in action also, because the thing that was going on around him was profound. Never had happened. He couldn't have completely understood it, and yet in faith he still stood forward, stepped forward, and was willing to offer what he knew. In other words, he was willing to offer how God had worked in his life, in his heart, in his soul, in his body, in the name of Jesus Christ, to change him. When was the last time that you shared with someone how God, through Christ, has changed you or was at work in your life? The scripture passage today points to that kind of thing, but it also points to following God's guidance in it. If you plant yourself next to the person at the entrance to Fry's who's handing out the sale flyers, and you say, "Let me tell you about my saving relationship with God also," while you're looking at the sale, God might not necessarily be guiding that. You understand what I'm saying? But there may be somebody else. I'm hearing a wind blow. Anybody else hear that? Thank you, Lord. I didn't arrange that with God, but God handled it anyways. I'm hearing a wind blow. Yeah. And that floating roof that we have, just kind of floating along with it and floating away. Blowing. Yes. God is going to guide you. And there are going to be people that God puts in front of you. And it may be somebody that you know very well. Doesn't have to be somebody that you've never met before. Might be somebody in your own family. Might be somebody that you're married to. Might be somebody else that you're very familiar with, a friend. But it also may be someone that you never thought you would be with or talking to or God would put you in front of. That happens also. When God's Spirit works, in other words, God is going to be bringing people together that never expected to be together. Because regretfully, there are people in the world who don't expect God to work in their life anymore. Regretfully, there are people in the world who don't believe that God loves them anymore. Regretfully, there are people in the world who don't believe that God's Holy Spirit is actively present and working each and every day. Do you think that God is maybe stretching us today in worship, in worshiping Him, thinking about Him, not only remembering this first Pentecost, but thinking about Pentecost today, reminding us that we still have that call to go out and speak His love? Do you think that, church? Anybody think that? Anybody? There's one. That's good. That's a start. Anybody else have that idea that maybe we're called, maybe we're not going to be filled to be able to speak the tongues of another person, but we're going to be filled to share the love of God that is in us with those that God puts in front of us? Do anybody think that that might happen? Amen. Is anybody open to that today and every day? Yeah. You don't necessarily know how God's going to work, do you? We really can't predict it. We do know that it's going to be something that does not harm us. We know that from the biblical witness. Whenever this took place, The people had to be overwhelmed, but they weren't harmed. God will bring no harm upon his people, his children, and we all are. We also know that God is not only going to call, but he will sustain and he will equip. So that when we step out, and whenever these first believers were stepping out and sharing after being filled by the Holy Spirit, it wasn't as though they stood there and didn't have anything to say. No, we'll have something to say. God, you see, is in the business of transformation, of love, of Pentecost. There's a story from the ancient church which applies to our day as well. And here's the story. It's a young monk in the desert of Egypt who goes to a wise older monk and asked essentially what he should do to live a whole and faithful Christian faith and life. The older monk asks him what he's doing right now. The younger monk replies that he says his prayers, keeps his fast, adheres to his rule of life as best he can, and generally is kind to his fellow brothers and sisters. At that point, the elder arises and stands with his hands extended to the heavens when, whoosh, all 10 of his fingers become as lamps of fire. And he says to the younger, if you will, all of your life can become as fire as well. It doesn't matter necessarily in the end, how we see ourselves, in other words, as disciples. What matters is how God sees us. God sees you as his child. God sees you as his family. God sees you as a modern-day disciple. God sees you as valued. God sees you as a channel of love. God sees you as a channel of grace. God sees you as a channel of power. You see that? And when we open our hands and extend them to heaven, our fingers might not necessarily turn into lamps of fire, but we give God the glory, we humble ourselves before him, and others see that light of God, of Christ, of the Holy Spirit through us. Today is a day where I would invite you in our time of discipleship right now as you're listening to the music play to simply, if you'd like to hold up your hand to God, that's fine. If you'd like to do it in your own mind, but to close your eyes and offer yourself to God and simply say, Lord, I know that your Holy Spirit continues to work today, just as it did on the first Pentecost. Today is Pentecost once again, and Lord, I open myself to you. You've been transforming me. You will continue to transform me, even as I serve in the name of Christ. So I don't have to be perfect, just forgiven, and you have forgiven me through Christ. I offer my life. I offer my all, and I'm ready to be a channel of your Holy Spirit love and power and grace. In the name of Christ, here I am, Lord.